It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, 11,700, that's the number of the day. 11,700, that's the number of the day. You say, what are you talking about, Coach? It's May 8th, 2017. Yeah, but 11,700 is the number of the day. My great niece graduated from Ohio State University yesterday with a four-year degree, and she was one of 11,700 graduates at Ohio State University yesterday. 11,700. And I think that's kind of germane because over the last few days we've been speaking here on our show, talk a little bit about colleges and college debt and all that. Can you imagine the amount of money people are in debt coming out of Ohio State University? Now in Ohio, I'm not going to bore you, hang on, University of Cincinnati, University of Dayton, Bowling Green, State University, Kent State University for debt in Ohio, Ohio University down in Athens, Youngstown State University, Xavier University. I could go on and on and on with a number of universities kids are graduating from, to the point where it's almost become really like a high school education. I would say this, the kids are probably smarter when they graduate from college than when they, I'm sorry, from high school than when they are in college. You get dumber when you go to college. They teach you minutia that doesn't really matter. 11,700 graduated from Ohio State University yesterday. That's a staggering number. I got a little bit of housekeeping I want to try to do here today. I'm going to try to make this show this week. Here's the point I want you to see. I'm going to try to prove a point to you. Right now, those of you listening out there and those who are watching in the queue, answer this question for me if you can. Name one Christian organization in America designed specifically to play offense. Name one. Name one designed to play offense. Well, the rest of this week, I'm going to blow you away when we look at the other team and all of the offensive plays they're running. See, everybody on our team plays defense. You name it, American Center for Law and Justice, they play defense. The American Family Association, well, they put out some good stuff, but they play defense for the most part. Focus on the family. Or how about some, as one of my friends says, focus on the scamily. No, they don't play any offense. Okay, but does anybody know any, can you name anything like American Civil Liberties Union, Southern Poverty Law Center, People for the American Way, Tides Found, I can go on. I will show you tomorrow, not today, I don't think I'm going to have time today, at least 200 organizations of the enemy that plays specifically offense. And I always found out when I was coaching football, I always found out it was always a lot more fun, a lot more effective to score a lot of points than just to try to keep the other team from scoring. So the Devils team has been really, really good. Right wing watch, there'd be another one. Hi, boys. Right wing watch, there'd be another one. They're specifically on offense. And why are they on offense? Because they don't have to play any defense. There's not anybody on our side that plays any offense at all. And so therefore, they're able to get away simply by playing defense. So over the next 4 days, I think Russ is going to be with us tomorrow. I have to check in. He's really busy. You know, he just did a big event up in Michigan with, I'm sorry, Illinois with Paul Bagley and the Hagmans. I think he's probably home, but I hope Russ will be on with this. But if not, that's what I'm going to dive into this week. You are going to be amazed with some of the research that I've been able to come up on just by sitting in front of my computer and Googling around to see that no wonder we're getting scalped. No wonder we're getting scalped. Now, hang on. Here in America, I'm getting scalped here in America, but we're not getting scalped around the world. I'm going to show you all that stuff here today. And I want to start out with something. I get a lot of interesting emails, a lot of them, and I love hearing from you. And as I always say, if you email me, I try to get back to you. I read every one of them, and I try to get back to them. Some of you write me books, and I read them. But when it comes to responding, how do you respond to an email that long and cogently without acting like you didn't care what they said? So I do care, and I do read them all. I'm going to share an email with you here. I want to remind you, the 19th and 20th and 21st now of May, Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli are going to be here for this for our conference. Would love for you to come and join. All the information is at CoachDaveLive.com. Come and be part of it. Drive in. There's a KOA close. There's several hotels. And we're going to do something that's really, really unique and unusual. We're going to go to the Newark, Ohio Earthworks on Sunday morning, and L.A. Marzulli is going to give a teaching of how those earthworks were really built and the real history of what they called the Land of Legend here where I live, just down the road from me, May 19th and 20th. And it's $29. And you say, well, why do you even charge? Well, I got to listen. Come on now. Let's go, folks. L.A. Marzulli and his wife are coming in from, where are they coming in from? L.A., I think, out in California anyway. Pick up their expenses. They're going to be in a hotel four nights here. Russ is going to be in a hotel four nights here. We got other expenses. So we have to cover the expenses. It might be good enough just to take an offering, but workman's worthy of his wages. And I've got to clear this up. We are not having breakfast for you on Saturday morning. That was a whatever. It meant breakfast on your own, but we are going to feed you food available on site all day Saturday. Noon, we'll have a meal. And in the evening, we'll have a meal. So you won't have to be running around trying to get food. And so we'll have all that available for you as well. So jump in there, be part of it. I think anybody that's within 4 or 5 hour drive of it, man, if you really want to get your eyes open to what's going on, this would be the place to come out. So I got an email. I want to share this one to you. Jared, it says, what does it say there? Read this email. Pull that up there, Jared. Now, I want to show you how amazing the Lord is and the connections that he makes. Things that he does that is amazing to us. It just really is. In this email, I've taken her name out of it, and I've pulled out a couple things from it that weren't germane, and I didn't really ask her permission. So I've taken out some locales and some different things because I didn't want, just out of courtesy. But I got this email. Remember I showed the video the other day looking for someone else? Did it ever dawn on you? Are you listening to me? Did it ever dawn on you that you might be the answer to somebody's prayer? You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. Who, you say? You. You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. Because you're going to go places that I don't go. You're going to go places. We all live in different areas. We all have different people that we influence. Did it ever enter your mind that you might be the answer to somebody else's prayer? See, here's the way we think in modern Christianity. We think we're always looking for somebody to answer our prayer, right? You ever think if you made yourself available that the Lord could use you? This one just blew me away. Put this up there, Jared. We want to read it. And again, I've taken some of it out. I received this email on Thursday or Friday. I can't remember what it was. I think it was Friday. Coach, it's about time someone else stood up for God's truth and you answered that call, Coach. God's been calling for his children and getting the battle for a long time. There's so much I want to say, but I'll try to keep this short. I know you don't typically respond to long emails. I respect your time, yada. Listen to this now. Are you ready? For years, I prayed that my mother would come to know the truth. Even though she prayed every night before bed, I knew she wasn't a Christian. By the fruit that she bore. Yes, I judge. I know you know that we are called to judge with righteous judgment. Better now while on earth, and when there's time to repent, than in front of that great white throne when the chances are gone. And she has some Bible references. My mom thought the Bible was a game of whisper down the lane, not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but flawed because it was written by men. So I planted some seeds of truth with Mama that would take root and sprout every now and then. But thinking it would probably be better if I came from someone besides her daughter, I prayed that someone else would come along and help share the truth with her. And then one day, a few months ago, she asked me if I had ever listened to Coach Dave. That really blew my socks off. Talk about jumping on the fast track. She loves listening to you via YouTube and on her TV each morning when she wakes up. So thank you, Coach, for being my someone else. Do you get it? Do you get that? You came in for reinforcement. You helped reach my mama, and it's very encouraging. Now, if my dad would get on board, he was saved in 1978 as one of those once saved, always saved guys. He's 70, a lifelong athlete, and likens himself to King David. He needs serious prayer, and I've been sharing your videos with him. He's in California, but at least he's no liberal. Discernment. I like to say that it's more, listen now, discernment. I like to say that it's more than knowing right from wrong. It's knowing right from almost right. And having discernment can save one's life. That helps us to know the truth from a false gospel, for example. It was just a matter of knowing right from wrong. Most everyone would, if it was just a matter of knowing right from wrong, most everyone would have discernment. Even bad guys who try to cover their tracks from right from wrong. I like to think that discernment has been withheld from them, as they're not children of God, will not receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like many whose butts fill the pews and enjoy those ear-tickling sermons that make them feel good about who they are and what they do. No discernment, no repentance. Okay, now here, I want you to hear this last part. Conviction. I'm a corporate paralegal for a large health system in Virginia. I draft physician contracts and maintain all the subsidiary corporations and LLCs. In other words, I sharpen the axe and hand it to the executioner. Please pray that I will trust in God and find the courage I need to do what is right by leaving this company and exposing them for the evil they do. They create customers by keeping people sick and dependent. The only health they're interested in improving is the health of the bottom line, and they're all 501c3s. This is stuff we've all spoken about in here, right? Oddly enough, I have always believed in and practiced natural medicine, so I feel that God put me here to gather the info necessary to expose them. So there you are. Someone else, always looking for someone else. And I would pray that you're being touched through these daily shows, that you're sharing them with others, and others are having their eyes open. Amen. Don't you feel like I'm patting myself on the back, patting this on the back? But buddy, listen, something is going on for sure. Something's going on out there.
Hey, Coach, how can they become 501c3? That is crazy.
There's a lot of those kind of things going on out there, Tim. The NFL's 501c3. How about that one? How can that be? The National Football League is tax exempt. Yep, tax exempt organization. So there's a lot of things, you know, that some of them can be educational. Some of them can be, I mean, you know, you just think about it today. Healthcare, you could make that look almost charitable, couldn't you? And so that's what a lot of them are doing. I think probably falling under charitable organizations. And just call yourself nonprofit doesn't mean you don't make any money. We're going to get into the Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, they're going to be watching, I promise you. And the ACLU, we're going to get into them the next few days, okay? A couple other things I want to show up here real quick before we really kind of dive into what we want to dive into here. I received some emails this last week because I made fun of Paula White. You guys remember that? I made fun of Paula White. I didn't make fun of her. I said, there's Donald Trump with Paula White behind him. And I said, Paula White's been married 3 times. Listen, I understand marriage and divorce. Okay, that would be a show in itself. We probably ought to do that show. And I think that your life doesn't end when you get remarried. But that's another one of those sticky issues that we're going to have to deal with as we progress in this program, is what does God really say about marriage and remarriage and all of that. But it's different to me than for a friend of mine to be married, remarried, found Jesus, got remarried, and in a new relationship with a loving wife. I'm cool. But it's something else for a pastor to be on a third marriage. Does that bother anybody but me? Hang on. Second marriage after salvation. That's Paula White. She was married as a teenager, had a child when she's like 18 years old, and then she found Jesus. So we forgive that first one. But on her second marriage now, I just got to show you some stuff here. Just, hey, JR, is it okay to show the truth here? Do I, every time I come on this show, do I have to worry about who I'm going to make mad? Just when I expose the truth, do I have to worry about that? Now, I don't care. Paula White can have the biggest church she has and be a popular speaker, and she is, and all that kind of stuff. Understand this, folks. She was standing behind the President of the United States as a representative of Christianity. Okay? Now, I'm telling you, a lot of things about that bothered me. And I saw news clips a couple times this weekend of Trump's talk. And who do you think was in that same picture? There was an American flag, and there was Donald Trump, and then there was this lady in red. Paula White was right there beside him. So I just got to show you this, because this is the type of stuff that we are dealing with in Christianity. Praise the Lord, your sins are under the blood. All of us are. I'm not here throwing stones. I'm not doing any of that stuff. But there's some things here that I think that are necessary for you to see. Okay, Jared, let's see. What did I put up there? First one. Listen. I'm just going to let this play. Paula White just got remarried in 2011 to Jonathan Cain, who was in Journey, the band Journey. Jonathan Cain found the Lord. Praise God he found the Lord. Praise God that Jonathan Cain and Paula White found each other and got married. Praise the Lord praise the Lord. However, Jonathan Cain is soon in the pulpit at Paula White's church. Well, you're going to see it. You're just going to see this, right? You're just going to see this. Now, as you listen to this, I want you to listen to the reaction of the people, okay? Listen to the reaction of the people when Jonathan, well, it's only a minute, 38 seconds. I got this from Pen and Pulpit and Pen, I think so. I can't remember exactly where it is. Just listen to this. Go ahead, Jared. Pulpit and Pen. I think that's where I got it. It's coming, folks. That's where it is. It says on the following clip, Jonathan states that Christian women should watch porn with their husbands. Can you go back here, Jared, so I can read that for the people? There you go. Thanks. For the people who can't see it. On the following clip, Jonathan stated that Christian women should watch porn with their husbands if that is what he likes. Paula then tried to laugh it off and act like he was joking, but it was no joke. In the house of God, supposedly with children in the sanctuary, John and Paula have no respect for God, the church, children, or even themselves. Listen to this.
And the other part of it is, ladies, if you don't know what he likes, you know, figure it out. Get a book. But go get some porn, do something, whatever. If he likes to watch porn with him. You know what I mean? It's like...
Listen to the crowd now.
You got to get where you're going to go. Figure it out.
It's like I fell on the floor. Now... Here's the thing.
Hang on a minute. Freeze that. You say, Coach, you're being a prude. Let me ask you something. You know how many lives are destroyed by porn? Do you have any idea how many lives in America are destroyed by porn? How many families are destroyed by porn? And he brings this up in the pulpit, and people laugh about it. Now, she's going to try to cover it over, right? She's going to, if she thought her husband, a novice Christian, was going to get in the pulpit and say something like this, she should not have let him in the pulpit. Hang on. She's standing beside the president representing Christianity. Go ahead, Jared.
I'm going to clear some stuff up because I know the church world. John and I don't watch porn. We have never watched porn together.
I stay in my own lane.
Okay, we don't. He doesn't watch porn without me because y'all are like that. And I'm gonna clear up because I know y'all just like breaking out. And we're not advocates of saying go outside, but what he's saying is educate yourself on sexuality. That's what he's saying. He's not saying get addicted to porn. He's saying educate yourself. If you're going to sit there and say, we don't know what to do, get educated.
I dug a hole right there. Can somebody throw some dirt on me or dig me out? Am I prudish here? Well, hey. She's standing beside the President of the United States representing Christianity. Somebody help me here. Somebody slap me down or slap me up.
You're right on the money, Coach.
What did you say, JR?
I think it says a lot about the president as well. I think it says a lot about both of them.
She's one of his main advisors. George, what are you going to say?
I'd like to know what translation of the Bible they have, too.
Well, the fact that you even bring that up in a mixed audience. What's happened to decency, right? What has happened to decency? You go to church and you hear that in the church? Are you kidding me, George?
You know, Coach, I heard it said once, what's tolerated in one generation is accepted in the next, and now it's just accepted. It's just becoming accepted.
Well, George, I'm not done. Hey, Todd, I'm sorry, man. I'm just a truth teller here. That's all. It's just a truth teller. That's all I try to be.
Hey, Todd.
Okay, so listen, Jared, let's pull this one up here now, folks. Listen, this isn't beat up on Paula White Day, okay? I'm showing you what we are dealing with, what we're dealing with in modern Christianity, okay? Paula White is one of the most popular women ministry speakers in the world. She's one of the most popular. She is pastor of a church. She and her husband, Randy White, had a church in Tampa called Church Without Walls. Probably started out okay. They split up due to whatever, 2007. And then Zachary Timm. See, I have to show you this. I'm sorry that I have to show you this. I'm sorry that I have to point this out, okay? Look at this. The church of Paula White now pastors is called, I'll get to it here in a second. The church pastor that she took over for was a pastor named Zachary Timms, who died, you're reading that right, from a cocaine heroin mixture. That was in 2013, December 19, 2013. He has this huge, huge church, and he dies of a cocaine overdose. Leaves the church without a pastor. So Paula says, well, I'll go pick up the slack. I'll go pick up the slack for it. So she goes and she takes up his church. Jared, click on, let me see what I got. Hey, are you on, go to Heritage, Jared, the one right below that says Heritage. This is on, okay. Now this is on her church's website. They are honoring this pastor, Dr. Zachary Timms, who died of a drug overdose. Okay. Now scroll down here. Now look, now folks, come on here. We're grown-ups here. Look how he is to be remembered, okay? This is in their writings. It says, the ministry made a presence throughout the highways and byways of Orlando, building a ministry based on outreach. Over the course of the 10 years, the ministry would increase its membership into the thousands, invested countless hours into outreach, hosted annual Thanksgiving and Christmas events, secured a 21-acre property debt-free, built a 3.4 million, 34,000 square foot generation next youth building dedicated to the community youth, and impacted the lives of many believers and non-believers through global media. Then it says, that's unfortunate about his passing and he died, but they don't tell you how he died. So scrolling down, guys, this just blew me away this morning. This is on the same page. Look at this. Look at this page dedicated to the former pastor. Stay right there, Jared. Timothy or Zachary Timms. He was an author. There's a picture of him. A man of no limit. Look at this. He built ministry for men. Scroll on down, Jared. A man of higher education. excited for life, except he died of a heroin overdose. And then look, Paul is carrying the vision. Now look what it says up above. Pastor Tim's built godly men who he ultimately wanted to become the priests, prophets, and protectors of their home. He touched the lives of men of all ages and was determined to see them take their godly positions in society within the four walls. I read the wrong one. Scroll that on down, Jared. I'm sorry. I wanted to read under Paula. She's carrying the vision. Having once been Dr. Zach's spiritual mother, I can confidently state that he would want each of us to be committed to the covenant we've established at New Destiny Christian Center. Honor him by taking your God-ordained positions and building the city of destiny. Okay, help me out here again now. Help me out.
Didn't Paula bring Donald Trump to Christ?
She's the one that's, yep. She's the one that supposedly. Now, guys, help me. I'm serious. Why would this be on this page? This gentleman, as good as he might have been when he was alive and as effective as he might have been, died of a heroin overdose. He died of a heroin overdose. Am I being judgmental here? Am I being too... What do you think? Anybody think?
Well, yeah. I what kind of doctor did he have? Because, you know, in certain ministries, you can get a doctor of divinity. People say, I now bestow on you a doctorate degree, which means nothing.
Right. But Tim, here's what's crying out to me. He wasn't living what he was preaching.
Well, that's my point. My point is, how false are we? Because you can say that you're a doctorate of something, but that's a false. That's a lie. That's my point. So he could be lying the whole way through his ministry. I'm building it on what I call sugar. It's the quick fix.
Right. Okay, so here's what I'm asking. Am I wrong to criticize Paula White for standing next to the... Listen, she's like a Cupid doll. She's eye candy. She looks good. How did she get front and center with the Trump administration?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Remember 6 months ago, I gave you all a list of the Evangelical Advisory Council, and I said over half of them were wolves in sheep's clothing, and it's just
come home
to roost.
Yep. I don't want to stay on this anymore. I'm just trying to show for those people who I don't want to use the word criticize, but wondered why I would attack Paula White. I'm just showing you. Michael, help me. Please help me here.
This is the image that we have. We're all movie stars, and we want to be a movie star, and that's exactly what she is. She's a movie star. And Trump, he's a secularist in the beginning, and, you know, we just got to pray that continue to have God influence what he's doing and allow God to work in our country the way he should. But quit looking for images and worshiping idols. That's what we do. We worship idols all the time. We put a guy up on top like Joel Osteen. I don't care what anybody thinks about what I say. If these guys are becoming idols, then you better watch out what you're worshiping, because you're not worshiping the God that I know, because he taught me to walk away from any glory for myself. It's all his and no one else's.
To have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I believe that's pornography. I believe even mentioning that in the pulpit is pornography. But see, here's the point that I'm trying to make. And people took me on last week when I showed that those evangelifish pastors in there at the White House. They took me on. I am not attacking Donald Trump. I'm trying to get you to see who, from a Christian perspective, is influencing Donald Trump. Hey, you guys know Flip Benham. You know Rusty Thomas. You know some of the true prophets that are out there. How come Rusty Thomas isn't standing behind Donald Trump? How come Flip Benham? Do you think Paula White is giving the same advice to Donald Trump as Flip Benham would give to Donald Trump? You think so? I'm not criticizing Trump.
No.
I'm criticizing who's around him. Do you get the difference in the two? She's the one, as JR pointed out, that supposedly led him to Jesus. She is, Paula White. She's a pretty little thing. He's a pretty little thing. I'm in trouble, boys. Hey, listen, I'm in trouble. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn. All right? Just telling you the truth. Go ahead, George.
Coach, though, I mean, seriously, why would a man take spiritual advice from the weaker vessel being the women? Not the women. My wife's a strong, strong woman. But you know what? I lead her. She doesn't lead me. Why would Donald Trump be led by a woman?
Why would American Christianity be represented by a woman? Why?
Jezebel spirit.
Bride of Christ.
Yeah, there you go. You've been judgmental again, Mike. You've been hanging around that coach too long, right?
There you go, man. I was going to say that myself. You know, there is so much truth in that. That is so much truth.
The Lord gives us all kinds of signs if we just open our eyes. Just open our eyes to see him. You know? Hey, I ain't a perfect guy. Come on, man. I ain't perfect. Far from it. I'm far from it. But I can see. Hello, is this Matt?
How's Dave doing today?
Well, I've dug myself a hole, but I'm doing okay.
No, you haven't. You haven't dug yourself a hole. I just want to make one quick comment. Is what I'm finding, I'm finding some very strange looks on people's faces when I point out to them that if they're going to church and they don't know who their pastor voted for president, they should run away from that church.
Mm.
We have gone through too many years where we don't encourage people to even talk about who they voted for. I'm going to tell you what, that person is your shepherd. And if they are voting for abortion candidates, if they are voting for candidates that support gay marriage, then don't go to their church.
Mm.
That is the worst thing you can do. My wife and I went to a church. I started going along to her church with her a number of years ago. And then we come to find out that the man voted twice for Barack Obama.
Wow.
I haven't gone since. And I will not go. And I think if we want to put a stop to some of the problems in American church today, require the pastor to stand up and tell who they voted for everything from school board to the president of the United States. They should be required to lay that on the line so that you can see the character of that person.
I'm with you, Matt. I'm with you, Matt. I'm with you, brother.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. That's what we're going to be doing in our church service starting here in a couple weeks. I will, as I'm giving the message, I will stand up and say who I voted for and why I voted for them. And if you can't take that, then you're free to get up and leave.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thanks, Matt.
Anyway, have a great day.
Bye-bye. So I got something else to show you here, because I've been warning you. I came across this today. It's Western civilization. It's under attack. Hear me. Western civilization that's under attack. America in particular, as the cradle of Christianity. England, I guess, was the cradle of Christianity. I hear somebody say Israel. I hear you. Christianity went to the world from Great Britain. Okay? It went to the world. It came there, but it went from there. It went from there. And here's some startling statistics that I know that you don't know. The encouragement, unless you're an American. Is the world getting better? Got it up on our screen there. Is the world getting better? The international director of World Revival Network has reported statistical research that he says demonstrates that the world is getting better, in large part due to the massive growth of Christianity around the globe. A fact, he says, is contrary to popular belief. See, we think, what was that song? What was that show? Love American Style? We think Christianity, American style. See, we think if Christianity dies in America, it's done. That's what we think. No, it's not done. Not done. America could be. Let's keep going here. In a recent blog entitled "Why You've Been Duped into Believing the Myth That the World Is Getting Worse and Worse," J.D. King contends the earth is constantly improving because the gospel of Jesus Christ is taking root in every corner of the globe. The kingdom of God is advancing, and things are truly reflecting the Lord's great kindness and love. Citing statistics purportedly showing diminished violence and poverty in the world, along with increased health and life expectancy, King anchors his claims of world betterment in research showing the spread of Christianity globally in the last century, with evangelical Christianity leading the way. Did you guys know this? Anybody know this out there? Many aren't ready to accept this, King writes, but the number of those who claim to be Christians around the world has nearly quadrupled in the last century. From 600 million Christians in 1910 to about 2.3 billion in 2011. Christians represent roughly 33% of the world population. You guys know that? There's little doubt that the church is rapidly advancing around the globe, he says, with the unfortunate exception of the United States, Canada, Europe, Japan, and a few other isolated places. Christianity is actually outpacing population growth everywhere. Did you guys know that? See, we're looking at like in America, oh, it's getting dark, things are getting worse. Oh, man, no. How about this? Quoting King, it's in regards to Muslims. In fact, it appears that more Muslims became Christians over the last 20 years than in the previous 1,500 combined. Based on the observations of missiologist journalist Andre Lee, suggests that more Muslims have committed to follow Christ in the last 10 years than in the last 15 centuries. I got goosebumps on that. Amazing. King says that in spite of the intense persecution, assassinations, and widespread church bombings, revival is exploding throughout North Africa and other parts of the Middle East. It has been conservatively estimated that at least 2 to 7 million people from Muslim backgrounds worldwide now follow Christ. Other reliable reports suggest that there may be as many as 10 to 15 million undocumented Christians in Muslim countries. Perhaps there's even more. I'm aware that many don't believe it, but unbiased analysis and multitude of relevant statistics confirm that the world is actually getting better. There is a greater prosperity, peace, and health than ever before in recorded history. The kingdom of God is boldly advancing, and it's transforming everything in its wake. Wow. I wish that many of my fellow Christians would gain a better grasp of what's really going on in the nations. We need to get out of our pessimistic doom and gloom worldview and truly embrace the good news of the gospel of Jesus on the move. And he is bringing his blessing and life to a world that has been ravaged by darkness. King says that what is now transpiring in the nations really shouldn't surprise any Bible-believing Christians, because it's something that the prophet Isaiah said in centuries ago. Isaiah 8, 9, verse 7. The government will be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will rule over his kingdom, sitting on the throne of David, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is expanding around the globe while it is losing its influence in the United States of America. That is crazy. I'm going to show you a video here in a second. Anybody want to respond to what you just heard right there before I play the video?
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, Todd.
Hey, you know, I've traveled all over the world and specifically to Muslim countries. And I can tell you every opportunity, the Lord has given me opportunities to witness to Muslims deep inside Muslim countries. And I can tell you there's a major thirst out there for the truth by these Muslims. So I could see that happening. What I kind of question this report is you know, how many of these people, 2 point something billion people, claim to be Christians? Are these going to be people that's going to stand before the great white throne and say, hey, I knew you, and Jesus said, well, I'll never know you. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many of those 2.4 billion people are truly born again. So
yeah, I'd agree. I would agree. But I think one of the points I'm making, Todd, is at least Christian influence is not taking root in areas that had never taken root in. I'd agree. Michael?
I want to say one thing in backing you, and this is the truth that I see. We're in an age where we need guerrilla warfare. What you just did with Paula White, and I'm not trying to, you know, make any big deal about it. You did guerrilla warfare. You told the truth. You got it out there. Now it's up to the people to decide who they're for. In guerrilla warfare, that is the only way a government is overthrown. We're looking at a government over us that needs to be overthrown. I'm talking about a church government, if you want to use that word, church. It needs to be overthrown because they're not what they are should be. And it's through guerrilla warfare that mm-hmm. things change. And that's what you do. Exactly what you did. I've talked that with Larry Nichols. I've talked that with Mark Taylor. The thing is that we're in an age right now, especially with Trump and what we've got going for us in the government. We have to be more aggressive. Like you said in the beginning, how many organizations in the church are really offensive? Guerrilla warfare is an offense that overthrows what is in the way. And that's what we have to do.
And Michael, we're going to find out in the next few days, if you folks hang in there with me, I'm going to show you guerrilla warfare on the other side, how they have infiltrated and what they have done to us. And we have not played any offense at all. Okay. And listen, I don't care. The eye in the sky does not lie. You can say what you want to about Paula White. I know what I saw. I know what I saw. You do with it whatever you want. I know what I saw. So you don't have to agree with me. Anybody else before I show you this video?
Hey, Coach, one more thing. Hey, okay. You know, if we look at you, you mentioned that the gospel kind of was spread around the world through England and subsequently United States. But if we look at the number of Christians in England today, they're very, very few. And I've been over there many, many times. And I can tell you the churches are closing down in England. And I can see the same thing happening in the United States. The power of Christianity is diminished in England, and it's coming to the United States as well. And the Lord is, I think, maybe moving his hand to other parts of the world here to go away, because we have failed to do what he called us to do as a church.
We've watered it down. We have not occupied till he's returned. We've become ashamed of the gospel. All those things. Isn't it amazing? The most Christian nations in the world are turning. They're turning. They're not. You know, J.R. wrote something interesting over on the side. J.R. said Westboro Baptist Church is on the offense, and everybody complains about the way they play. Right? They don't like the way they play, but they are at least on the offense. And then Sarge piggybacked right up on the side over here. France is lost. Folks, I saw this. I said this to these guys before I went on the show. Did you guys know that this Macron, this guy who's now 39 years old, an elected president of France. I get it. This is unbelievable. You know, he married his teacher, his high school teacher. That when he was, stay right there, Jared. I'm going to show this video. When he was 15 years old, he fell in love with his teacher. No, she wasn't 21 or 22. No, no. Did you know that the president of France today is 39 years old? And his wife is 65. Did you know that? I mean, what? What? You say, well, coach, people can marry older spouses. Yeah, 65 and 39? What? He's president of France now. Lord help us. So, Jared, let's show that. Folks, I want to, before I show this video, those who are listening can't see the video. You can pick it up on our website. We'll have it posted. We have a map in front of us, color-coded map. Christianity is in white. Islam is in green. And communism is in red. Now, you almost can't see it, but it shows 18 AD up in the left-hand corner. So this is 18 AD. The map you're looking at right now is 18 AD, okay? Now, we're going to watch over the next 2,000 years how Christianity spreads, gets pushed down, gets conquered, fights back. Watch this gospel map over the last 2,000 years. It's very short, but pretty powerful. Go ahead and play that, Jared. You're ready to freeze it when I tell you to, Jared. The white is Christianity. Look how much Islam used to rule. Look at the white spread, that's Christianity. We're at 1,200 now. Here comes the Mongols, they don't last very long. They're wiped out. Christianity's back in. 1,400, Islam takes off again. 1,600, and Christianity begins to spread. United States is popping up over on the left. South America. Here comes communism. Communism's falling. Freeze it right there, Jared. That's what the world looks like today. More white than anything. Christianity, a lot of places. Little patch of green in there where Islam still survives, and a little bit of communism there in red China. But other than that, Christianity's on the march. It's not what we hear. It's not what we think, is it? Unbelievable. Anybody got a comment on that? Okay.
Coach, the problem is that nobody really reports the truth of what Christianity is really all about. And nobody reports those things that go on, like your friend there that talked about being with the Muslims and preaching the word. We don't talk about the blood of martyrs that has changed parts of the world that we never even thought were possible. You know, we look at Russia as a communist country and all of that, but it's been changing. Things are changing. And basically down underneath, as you watch that film, it was white in Russia. What does that mean? It was Christianity. Christianity was really established strongly in Russia. Who knows that right now they're coming back to what they were once were.
Hey, brother, we know which direction we're heading, don't we? Come on here. Okay, I want to finish up with this, Jared. I didn't think I was going to have time. It's because Michael just mentioned persecution. I think this is about 9 minutes long, but it's worth it. I want you to understand that the call of Christianity, when we just saw that map and how Christianity spread, do we understand that it spread through martyrdom? Do we understand that Christianity is spreading today through the blood of the saints? Do we understand that? Do we understand that that hasn't changed? Do you understand that we live in the United States of America where we get upset if somebody even criticizes us? If we lose a job, if we have to bake a cake, we get upset. Jared, I said start to 3:30, Mark. I'd really like to play this whole thing if we can, Jared. This is a video on, well, on the price of Christianity. The price. the price for that gospel to be spreading in other areas. You have got to know there are people dying. And as the more people die, the more the gospel spreads. And Mike, that won't fill a church in America, will it? That sure won't fill a church in America. Talking about dying? Are you kidding me? I died to myself. I don't want to die. Here we go. This about, I'm sorry if 9 minutes, hate to do this to you, but I believe it's worth watching. 9 minute video here. Go ahead, Jared. By the way, we'll get you all these videos. If you're listening and you want the video, let us know. Because this film contains graphic images of persecution. Viewer discretion is advised. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world, Jesus said, John 16:33. Right now, folks, it's just showing a video of different types of persecution. People being beaten, beheaded. We're not actually seeing them being beheaded. This guy being arrested for being a Christian, being kicked and beaten in the streets. As the gospel continues to spread, showing us fires now in Egypt, tearing down churches, burning Egyptian churches, burning Bibles.
An Egyptian Christian.
Picture of a guy who's been acid burn his face. Christian persecution going on all across the world. And here they are in India, I believe. Shows what's going on in Canada now. Christians being persecuted in Canada. United States. Some video of people being beat up at a gay pride parade, being beat up by the gays. Persecution now in China.
Later, we discover what he means. A coach arrives. More Christian supporters, we assume. But they're not. They're just the opposite, attacking the Christians and the lawyers.
Christian North Korea, if people believe in God and are caught by the Kim Jong-il government, they are killed along with three generations of their family. Because only I was Christian, my father, mother, and whole family were imprisoned.
Three generations. Iraq jumped into the top 10 this year because of many recent brutal attacks, like the massacre of 58 Christians in a Baghdad church this past October.
The level of brutality is almost unbelievable.
We're actually labeling it a religious side, as extremists there want to exterminate all Christians from the country of Iraq.
Muslim extremists in Pakistan have been killing Christians at an increasing rate for what they call blasphemy against Islam and the Prophet Muhammad.
Christians are being accused of blaspheming Islam by converting from Islam to Christianity.
This violence is even happening in Muslim sentence. Countries that were seen as more secular.
Christians are starting to be conversion killed on is religious a death grounds sentence. In Turkey. That's new.
Hang in there with us.
Christians are now the most persecuted people group on the entire planet. The International Society for Human Rights, a secular observatory based in Frankfurt, Germany, says 80% of all acts of religious discrimination in the world today are directed at Christians. Italian sociologist and author Dr. Massimo Intrivini recently stated that a Christian dies every 5 minutes in the world today because of their faith. In a 2012 report for Civitas, researcher and author Rupert Short agreed, stating, "It is generally accepted that many faith-based groups face discrimination or persecution to some degree. A far less widely grasped fact is that Christians are targeted more than any other body of believers. Dr. Carl Muller of Open Doors USA, citing independent research from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, said, "Whether you count martyrs, those killed, or you count those living under oppressive regimes, sizable Christian populations live under extreme restrictions in places like China, Indonesia, and of course the Middle East. Even secular politicians such as German Chancellor Angela Merkel have recently broken boundaries of political correctness to state on record that Christianity is now the most persecuted religion in the world." Ex-French President Nicolas Sarkozy, during his time in office, called it religious cleansing. You won't hear much about the growing tide of violence, harassment, rape, destruction of property, and murder of Christians from the Western media. In fact, journalists like The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg are calling this one of the most undercovered stories in international news. However, the truth is very simply that nothing puts a person at more risk in the world today than simply daring to identify themselves as a follower of Jesus Christ. There is a deep and deepening hatred of Christianity. To turn the language of secular society back in itself, the world is becoming increasingly Christophobic. You might say becoming increasingly anti-Christ. Hatred for Christ, his message, and his followers may be growing in the world today, but it's nothing new. Jesus of Nazareth was stripped, scourged, spat upon, mocked, nailed to a cross of wood, and hung up to die naked in front of a baying mob. Each of his disciples would go on to live a persecuted life of their own, and all but one would die a martyr's death. Jesus warned them ahead of time that this would happen, saying, "And everyone will hate you because you are my followers." He also told them, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you." Later, Jesus would pray for his disciples, saying, "The world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world." Peter was one who understood the clarity of his master's message. Later, he would write to the church in Asia Minor as it began to suffer persecution, telling them, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude and be ready to suffer too. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you." Peter here is telling the church that tribulation is absolutely normal and a natural consequence of following Jesus in a world that despises him. Clearly, if Peter felt the need to write this letter, the church in Asia Minor probably was surprised that it was having to suffer for the name of Christ. Peter wrote this to reassure them that there was really nothing to be surprised about. Those who would follow Jesus would have to be prepared to suffer as he suffered. The Apostle Paul wrote to his young protege, Timothy, to warn him of this fact too. He wrote, "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." The subtext of Paul's message is that the more godly you are, the worse things will become. Paul gave a similar message to the churches in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, saying that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must suffer, not we may suffer. Suffering is laid down as a prerequisite. If there's one thing that the early church was warned to prepare itself for, if there's one thing that they could be absolutely certain of, it's that they would suffer much tribulation. Suffering was an inescapable, natural, and even necessary consequence of following Jesus Christ in a world that hates him. And if those warnings weren't explicit enough, Jesus even went so far as to say that many would be called to give up their lives here for him. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." For 2,000 years, these words of warning have proven to be well-founded.
I want you to think about this as we come to a close here today, folks. Most of the persecution in America is over money. They're going to take your job. They're going to sue you in court. They're It's all money, 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 money. See, we are so captured by finances in the United States of America. You think about what the church complains most about when they go to the polls. What do they complain about? Social welfare benefits. We're overtaxed. All the government's using money to kill babies. It's all money focused. And why is it money focused? Because America is money focused. And it's time that we woke up and we looked around and we smelled the roses and understood that the gospel of Jesus Christ is expanding around the globe, but not Christianity, American style. No, no, no. We're too soft. We got it too easy. We love our stuff too much. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.